Good morning once again. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to go fishing. I love to fish. And to me, it's really, really exciting when you go out fishing and you find a big school of fish and there's just one bite after another. And then sometimes you go out and you spend the entire day and you're lucky if you catch one fish. My wife can tell you that I enjoy fishing so much that I will stay all day long not having caught anything. And after hours and hours, and she'll say, "David, it's time to go home." And I say, "Just one more cast. One more cast. I want to drop that hook down there and I want to catch just one fish, one more time." And of course, she knows that one more cast to me means maybe another hour or so. But, you know, the thing is, I don't give up because I really want to catch a fish. And it is something that also applies to us in a spiritual sense. I don't know how the game works that's called Go Fish, but I think the term is applicable for all of us because that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to go fish, not for the physical fish, but for the spiritual fish. That is the souls of all men and women in this world. And so I want to talk a little bit today about this idea of fishing with you. And one scripture verse that I think is really important for us is found in Luke chapter 15 and at verse 10. Jesus says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." In other words, you know, we go and we fish and we fish and we fish, and maybe we don't catch a lot, but we catch just one. And that one causes God to rejoice, the angels to rejoice. And that one sinner who repents, the one person that we catch as we are out fishing for men and repents, makes all the difference in the world. After hours and hours and hours, days, weeks, even of months go by and you don't catch one, but when you finally do catch one, it is just an amazing and an awesome feeling for each and every one. And so we want to talk about this a little bit. As we read in the scriptures this morning, Jesus says, "Go therefore into all the nations, making disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And Jesus ends that saying, "And lo, I will be with you until the end of the age." Amen. And this is a command of God. Of course, it's to the disciples in the beginning. Jesus, who has all authority, is telling his disciples, go fishing for men. Go fishing. Go out into all the nations. And he wants each and every one of us to follow in that footstep because he said, teaching them, those are the ones that you've caught. Those are the ones who have come to faith and repentance in Christ. Those are the ones that were baptized into Christ. Teach them, he said. That's called catch and release. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But he says, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And so we take the letter F in the word fish, and in my mind, I connect that with the idea of seeking, finding, and knocking. In Matthew chapter 7, at verse 7, that's what Jesus tells us to do. We're out there asking people questions, we're seeking souls, and we're continually finding people, and then we're knocking on that door, opening that door to your heart. And when we think about those kinds of things and how that applies to that term go fishing or go, that's the whole idea. Is that the Church of Christ has a responsibility to go out and to reach lost souls. That's what it's all about. And you know, when you think about this. That is the pattern that we see in the Lord's church in the Bible. We see that pattern. Paul goes out and he plants seeds. He's seeking to preach the gospel where it hasn't been preached. He's seeking to plant seeds that will grow in the hearts of those who have fertile hearts, and he's caught them. And they become a congregation as they gather together in that particular town or whatever. And then after that, the evangelism and the teaching all takes place. And eventually that church grows to the point where every single member can go fishing. Every single member can teach class. Every single member knows the scriptures, and they are ready to give answers of the hope that is in them with meekness and fear as people ask those questions. And so it's important that we seek first that kingdom of God. Look at what it says in Matthew 7:7-8. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you." He said, "Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you." And then he repeats that again. You know, it's the idea that I go fishing for fish. I don't catch anything. I don't throw my pole away. I go fishing again and again. Many times I've gone out, never caught anything. I didn't put a hole, shoot the boat, and throw my fishing tackle in the lake. I just take it home, and I go out again. And that's what Jesus is saying when he repeats this a second time. He uses a different verb. The first time he just simply says, ask. The second time, first time he said, seek. And the first time he said, find, and of course, knock. But on the second verse 8 there, he says, for everyone who asks, receives. That asks in the Greek language has the ing at the end of it. You keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep searching, knocking, and you just continually do that. Don't throw away the idea of catching souls because it was hard. And because it's far and few between. So we need to seek, find, and knock. And you notice the treasure, and it will be open to you. When you do this over and over and over, sooner or later you're going to have a catch. And that door's opened. And what a remarkable thing it is. That's why the angels in heaven rejoice. It's such a wonderful feeling to have someone click. The light comes on, they hear the Word of God, and they obey that Word of God. I can't even tell you how good that, you know, it's better than catching a fish this big, because a soul is bigger than anything in this world. It's just a wonderful thing, and God will make that happen. When you look at Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 through 36, what do we see there? We see Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. You know, they're out there. They're weary. He's among all these people who are following him, these multitudes. And it says he had compassion on them. He thinks each individual out there as a living and valuable, tremendously valuable soul. In the physical sense, we can get worn down and we can come to a place where we even become filled with anxiety. And Jesus has compassion on those people, that multitude who was weary and scattered like a sheep having no shepherd. They didn't have somebody to guide them. Now, we know that Jesus did guide them. He did preach to them. We have the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. We have Jesus teaching all throughout the New Testament. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And part of that process, of course, it requires compassion. When you see people in the community around you, have compassion on them. Just, we don't know who is saved and who isn't saved. But we know that few are saved. And so if you go out in the community and you see that big school of souls, you have to assume some need to be caught. Have compassion on the people, even the stranger that you don't know. Because that's what the church is to do. So you can't be the chief shepherd in their soul, but you can lead them to the chief shepherd. You can be a shepherd to their soul. And then notice here that Jesus in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, he said to his disciples, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's part of the go command that you see there in Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 19. Remember, that doesn't apply just to apostles. It doesn't apply just to those who are in authoritative positions. It applies to every single soul in the body of Christ. And he wants us to consider this. There's a plentiful field out there. There are lost souls everywhere. Only few will be saved. When we consider that, you know, we have to inspire people. You catch somebody there. You talk to them about Jesus a little bit, and they become interested because their heart is fertile. And then what we do is we want to inspire them. We want to get them to see just how amazing Jesus is. Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see." What is it that they saw? They saw, of course, everything from Jesus, the beginning of that ministry when he called them from their fishing boats and from their tax collectors and all these different people called, and they began to see great things. They saw Jesus that did many signs, wonders, and miracles among them. And they saw that with their own eyes. John, in the book of 1 John, says that we touched and we handled, we saw, we were able to be there with Jesus. And when you see those things, he says, "For I tell you that many prophets, kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." There's people that want to hear about Jesus. There's people that, even if they don't voice it themselves, deep down inside, they know there's something missing. There's something that is awry in their life or in the world. And because of the things you know, the things that you've seen through the scriptures, because of the faith you have in Jesus, because you know that Jesus walked on water, you know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, you know that Jesus preached about the coming kingdom of God, you know that he gave his life to give answers to people and to hope, to give people hope. Those are the things that through the scriptures we see. That's a spiritual truth. And there's somebody out there that desires to see what you see, and the only way they're going to do that is for you to be the light of Christ in their lives. And we have to inspire people in these ways. We're going to teach them things that they have never seen, that teach them from the treasure trove of our hearts. Teach them that Jesus was real, historically, biblically. Teach them that Jesus was born of a virgin into this world by the seed of the Holy Spirit through God. Teach them that as Jesus grew, he grew strong in the wisdom and knowledge, and then teach them that he was indeed the Son of God, that God sent him into the world to save their souls through his blood. Teach them about the marvelous and wonderful things of God. Inspire them. Give them hope. We have this idea of a resurrection that people aren't really familiar with that are lost. And they don't have to be lost. They can be found. Just inspire them through our teaching about Christ, his resurrection, his kingdom that he rules from the right hand of God in heaven. Teach them about Jesus. Tell them about your love for Jesus, and more than just for Jesus, but for his word. That's something that the Church of Christ has in their possession. That is something that we have, a treasure trove. Our treasure trove is the Word of God, the truth of God. And we have that more so than any other denomination in the world. We have the pure, undefiled Word of God, that holy, precious Scripture. And we can just teach them, inspire them. Let them see that there is salvation and no other. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspire them with what is written. If God's Word doesn't inspire them, you move on and look for more fish. You release it, let them go. Maybe somewhere along the line, after you've given them that bait that they took, somebody else will water them with more of the word. And maybe they'll grow. But right now we understand. We have something, this treasure trove, which is the word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. We're the people of God. We can be complete through God's word. And so when we catch, we also inspire. We find that lost soul. We speak to them about Jesus. We inspire them through the word of God, who Jesus is and what the power of God's word is. In Romans 1 and 16, we all know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. So we inspire them in their along their path. And then we also have to water, work, and warn. That letter S is to continue to serve them. You know, you don't catch a fish that's good and just throw it away in the spiritual sense. That's one of the problems that churches have is a new member comes in and that new member sits among the other members and doesn't feel as though they're growing and they're just coming. They get into the habit of just coming and doing nothing. The Apostle Paul said that, you know, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave forth the increase. And after that increase comes, we need to continue to work with people. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We're showing them about the coming kingdom, about righteousness and unrighteousness, what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. And when we do down that road, as we're warning the lost, we also warn one another. Because we also can trip. We also can fall short of the glory of God. And so it is important for us to continue to watch out for one another. The Bible, James, he tells us that, you know, when we have somebody among us that's involved in sin and we turn that one away from sin, you know, we've saved a soul from death and covered a multitude of sins. So that's all part of continually watering, continually working with people, and continually warning them. They have to grow up in the knowledge of Christ, grow up in the admonition of the Lord. As Peter put it, we've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It comes through the knowledge of Him, but then we need to add to that for ourselves and for those who have been found and saved. And as we look down that, think of Acts chapter 2. We know what happened there. You know, God says, go. Jesus said, go out into all the nations, make disciples of men. Well, Peter, he did exactly what Jesus told him to do on the day of Pentecost. We know what happened. Peter preached Jesus. He told those Jews that crucified Jesus that they were the ones who crucified Jesus. And when they heard the preaching of Peter and the rest, what did they do? They asked the question, what must we do? Powerful question. You know, when you talk to people, when you're out fishing for souls and you get into a conversation with a stranger, it very easily could lead to that question. Well, what do I have to do? And then you can teach them and you can tell them what the commandment says. They need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, and at verse 40, I think is a very powerful message, almost conclusion there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, after these people have believed and they have been baptized and they have continued with the disciples, in verse 40, he's telling us that, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his words were baptized that day, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. Okay, so we got a missing picture here. So think about that. How important is it that we go through that process? How important is it that we have the ability to seek and save that which is lost? The last thing that they give is hope. Ah, there it is. H for hope. That comes from the Lord giving people hope. How do we give them hope? We tell them about salvation through the blood of Christ. We give people hope by telling them that there is a coming resurrection from the dead, that there will be a time when your hope is in the Lord and entirely in the Lord. The psalmist, he says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." We're waiting for that time when, as the song that we sang before the lesson, that city of God becomes a reality. And we tell them about this hope of heaven. We tell them about the resurrection from the dead, how Jesus Christ overcame sin and death, how he was dead and buried because of a sacrifice he did on our behalf, and he was raised up from that dead and sits in the heavens now by the glory of God. And you teach them about this great hope that we have, not only the hope of heaven and eternity, but also the hope of living holy and spiritual lives on the earth, being well-pleasing to God, realizing that no matter where we are, God is with us, as long as we continue to walk in that light. And so we can give people great hope because of the first fruits, Jesus Christ. And if you'll notice that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Earlier we talked about those who they just wish to see what we see, to hear what we hear, all together to know the things that we know. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that. They were the ones that wished to see what we see, the ones that wished to hear what we hear, and they never did. But we have this hope, this living hope in Christ Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. So we give people hope on a continual basis over and over and over. We tell them that the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, we tell them about Jesus Christ waiting and how God desires that all men be saved. We give them hope, the truth of the gospel. And so it's important that we go fishing, that we hold fast to the pattern that I mentioned earlier, the pattern of sound words, the pattern of the apostles. Paul went out and he planted, he talked, he gave them information, he helped to translate that all into the salvation of their souls. The people were baptized, they became a church in that local area. And then that church was commanded to go out and do the very same things, the pattern of sound words that you heard from me in faith, which are in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in love. So there's our mission. We do exactly what they did. We go fishing for men. And we have to be loyal to the command. That command, of course, is go. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. It just a cycle that continues and continues. And when it stops, when the cycle stops, the church suffers. Souls are continually walking lost. And so that's the message. Catch and release. You catch them. You teach them about the faith. You inspire them. You serve them by teaching and admonitions and helping them grow up in the faith. And then, of course, you let them go. That's our job. So we all need to be on that release side, going out into the world. The question today for everyone is, are you begotten? Are you one of those begotten of Christ? Are you one of those who are part of the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Have you obeyed the gospel is the point. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't, quote, been begotten by the blood of Christ, you need to do that today. So important today. And if you are a member of the body of Christ and you have not done what we've been called to do, remember His abundant mercy and remember what He's done for you and repent. If you have any need now, please come forward as we stand. and as we sing.